Welcome to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information about us, visit heritageoffaith.com.au. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
What an amazing offering, what an amazing communion. You know, I was listening to Pastor Tony talk about his offering. And I was thinking about, he's talking about seed time and harvest, but he has no idea what I was ministering today, and I didn't know what offering he was going to be bringing forward. So I believe that there's a divine appointed time and season right now. If you're watching by live stream, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're watching, I just want to encourage you, be open. You need to be a hearer of the word this morning, because I'm believing that the word is going to go forth. And if you catch a hold of this word, what I'm about to share this morning, I believe it'll open up your mind and open up your heart to the whole kingdom if you catch what I'm going to share this morning, because Jesus spoke about it. And I'm going to tell you in a little while, but good morning to you watching live stream. Good morning to you watching YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching. Maybe you're watching next week. Maybe you're watching a few weeks from now. Hey, maybe you're watching 5 years from now. Guess what? This word is as relevant today as it will be then. So I want to encourage you with that. God bless you, wherever you're watching. In 10 years, I might have a little bit more gray on my beard, but it doesn't matter. The word doesn't change. It's everlasting. Amen. Father, I thank you right now. Lord, as we bring forth this word, Lord, we've had a time here this morning of worship in your presence. Lord, I thank you. There's no distance in prayer. There's no distance in worship. But one thing I know, Lord, you are here with us this morning. You are here with us in the building, Father, as we're preparing and producing and sending forth this word. I know that it will change people's lives. I know that it will be seed that will go forth, Lord, and it will multiply in Jesus' name. Amen. So, before I get into my message this morning, you heard Louise while she was ministering this morning talking about that new door, supernatural increase. And God doesn't change his mind. He's not schizophrenic. Once he says something, you can take it to the bank. You can stand on it. He says, if you trust my prophets, you shall prosper. If you trust the Lord, you shall be established on a sure foundation. And I think it was on the 29th of March this year, Brother Jerry had a word from the Holy Spirit released about that word. Obviously, everything we're going through around the world, most people have never seen something like this before in their lives, or maybe they have. But let me encourage you with this word. Do not fret and do not fear. I still have a plan to give you a supernatural year. It's not over and you will not fail. Didn't I tell you that the gates of hell shall not prevail? So rest in me and I'll see you through. And I'll bring to pass all that I said I would do. So thank you, Father in heaven, that you have a choice. So thank your Father in heaven that you have a choice. You can choose to fear or you can choose to rejoice. So rejoice and do not cease. This is how you tap into my supernatural peace. And everybody said amen. If you're watching by live stream, if you're watching right now in your living room, just declare that supernatural peace. When we have the Prince of Peace walking with us, man, there's nothing that can throw us off track. There's nothing that can steal the word from us, because that's the enemy's number one tactic. If he can steal the word from you, he's got you. And I'm going to share this morning why. You know, my question to you this morning is, what's growing in your life? What seeds are you planting in your heart? What seeds are you planting in your family, in your business? Hey, maybe I'm talking to pastors. What seeds are you planting in your ministry? Is the first thing that happens, fear comes on you? People will leave? Your ministry will diminish? No, you don't know the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace has already been there in your future. Maybe you run a business and you think, how am I going to get through the other side? He said that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you to the other side. Although you walk through the valley, he is with you. But the key is to keep walking through the valley. You don't sit in the valley. And I love that word. The Prince of Peace is with us, church. Wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world. I know we've got people watching in every place. America, Singapore, Australia, South Africa, the islands. I know we've got people watching in Fiji. I know that. But it doesn't matter where, because you might have in a different country or a different government or different governance. But there's one king that rules us all, and that is King Jesus. And if you know him, it doesn't matter about anything else. So I want to encourage you, press into him, touch his hem, touch his garment in this time, and you'll be surprised on the other side that God's plan for supernatural increase will still be so in your life. But my question, what are you planting? What are you allowing inside? My question is this. If you look at the harvest, the fruits in your life, I'll tell you what seeds you're planting. You see, because as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest remain, that means if you have harvest in your life, if you have fruits of destruction, somewhere you've sown seeds of destruction. I know I'm talking to you out there. Don't all act so silent on me. But I know I'm speaking to you. What are you sowing? If there's financial lack, you are sowing the wrong things. Maybe you're speaking wrong. Maybe you're thinking wrong. Maybe your actions aren't lining up with the Word of God. But there is definitely a seed sown for a harvest, which is evident in your life. So the best way to know what seeds you're sowing is have a look at the harvest in your life. Have a look at the fruits in your life. And you'll know exactly what you're sowing. Amen? I want to read from 1 Peter this morning. I want to be talking about the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is incorruptible seed. It cannot diminish. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's pure. Nothing can hinder it. Only you can hinder it, friend. Not even Satan can hinder the Word of God. Only we allow him to hinder it in our lives. And I want to talk about that this morning. If you go with me to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Let me explain this to you. The Word of God is seed. It is seed. The Word of God, our Bible, everything in here is seed. What we do with this determines the harvest we have. And I'm going to talk about the parable that Jesus spoke about, the parable of the sower this morning. But I have to come back to let you understand the seed first before I can talk about the soil and the heart condition and the seed condition. But whatever we're sowing out of this will determine our harvest. You see, let me explain this to you. When you got born again, somebody presented the seed of the gospel. Somebody presented the Word of God to you, which was in the form of a seed. Somebody said, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about a better life. I want to tell you about a hope of glory. I want to tell you about eternity with Him. Something. Maybe there was areas in your life and somebody said, you know what? I have something for you. They were giving you a seed to place in your heart. But what happens from there, I'm going to show you in a few minutes. But a lot of what happens from that moment is up to you, the one receiving the seed. And somebody, maybe you got healed miraculously. Somebody presented the seed of healing and brought that seed to you and said, by his stripes, you were healed. Or Jesus is able to heal all who were oppressed of him. That's the seed of the Word, the incorruptible Word being presented to you, presented to your heart, presented to the soil which you contain inside. But it's, did you receive it? And if you've had breakthrough, if you're born again, you definitely received that seed. But there might be areas in your life where things aren't working. You've got to come back to look at the seed you're planting, even as a born-again believer. There's different aspects to this. Amen? You know, the Word of God is incorruptible seed. It's imperishable, it's enduring, it's forever, it's never-ending, it's eternal, and it's pure. I've mentioned that. See, if you want a harvest or fruits of righteousness in your life, you've got to go find seeds of righteousness in you and plant it in your heart. And you will bear fruits of righteousness. I know I'm talking to you out there. If you want deliverance, you need to go in the Word and see where the seeds of deliverance are, get them out and put them in your heart, and you will bear fruits of being delivered. If you want healing, protection, it doesn't matter what. Here's a big one. You can be a born-again believer and have an issue with God wanting to have you blessed in every area. You know what? You might be born again. You might be hungry. You might be filled with the presence of God. But maybe that's an area you haven't received that incorruptible seed. Or maybe you're so after on the other extreme, after money and blessings, but you, you reject the seeds of the anointing and the Holy Ghost. And you go, yeah, but that's not for me. That's just for the preachers. But I'll be fine running my business. And you know what? No one has the whole picture. No one has everything perfected. But let me tell you this. The imperfections are a clear indication of what seed we are placing in our hearts. If we look at the areas we're lacking, that's a good indication we need to go spend some time in planting some of those seeds in our life to bear those fruits. That's what I'm saying. As Lee would say, I'm saying all this to say this. Now, I need you to understand something. The kingdom of God is twofold. It is twofold. The kingdom of God is coming. It's coming. When Jesus comes back and, hey, with everything happening, guess what? It may be soon. But I'm not into conspiracy theories. I'm not into all this stuff that's happening. I'm aware and I'm educating myself. But my focus right now is to keep pressed into the Word of God more than ever. God told me, look at the author and finisher of my faith, Jesus. And if you focus on Him and know the Spirit of God, He says, I will show you those things to come. I don't need to be troubled. But now is the time more than ever we need the Word of God. But the kingdom of God is twofold. It is coming, but it is also present. Luke 17 says, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That tells me this, friend. If the kingdom of God is within you, that means there's a king, an active kingdom within you. There's an active king ruling in you. His name is Jesus. There's laws, rules, regulations, principles of this kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's yes and amen. In other words, when we cooperate with this, we have kingdom results. Kingdom harvest, but it also means there's farming principles, seed time and harvest. When we take the incorruptible seed and we place it inside of ourselves, eventually, if you do not grow weary in doing good, in due season you shall reap. There will be fruits in your life, guaranteed every time. The Word of God doesn't change. It's not powerless. It's what we allow that hinders the Word from germinating and bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold in our lives. And I'm going to show you that this morning. Amen. So let's just look at one more thing before we go forward. Jesus was speaking in Mark 4 to the disciples. And he said this in Mark 4, 13 and 14 in the NLT translation. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking the word of God to others. The New King James Version says this, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. The Passion Translation says this, let me explain. The farmer sows the word as seed. The farmer sows the word as seed. This morning I was on the phone to Brother Bill Horn, from America, he's the International Director of Chariots of Light. And we were having a good conversation, and it was Ginger's birthday, and I just phoned to wish her. But it made me realize about my message that Chariots of Light, on their vests, they have a little patch that they have, yeah, every 1 year. And you know what it says? It says this, every member is a seed sower. That came from Brother Jerry and Brother Bill. Every member is a seed sower. What is it saying? Every member is responsible to scatter the word of God to every person they come across. Not to get them saved, to scatter the seed. As you scatter, somebody else will water, but the Holy Spirit will bring the increase and seal it. The Holy Spirit's responsible for bringing it to pass. But our job is to scatter it. Our job is to scatter the word of God into our own lives, into our own hearts. Our job is to scatter the seed to our families, to our husbands, wives, whatever, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our uncles, our aunties, whatever. Our job is to scatter, the seed. That's what God's Word tells us. But Jesus said this. This was remarkable by what He said. He said this, that if you don't understand this, how will you understand the rest? Friends, family, let me say this to you. If you don't understand this parable, the whole kingdom of God will be shut down to you, and you'll never be able to access the fullness thereof. But he said, if you understand this parable, what I'm telling you, that the word of God is incorruptible seed, and like a farmer that goes out and sows that seed, will produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. I guarantee you that all the scriptures begin to open up. The whole word of God begins to open up. Why? Because we become mindful of guarding our hearts, allowing the seed to go in and protecting that seed. And whatever God wants to bring out, it starts to come out. Maybe it's in the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe it's in finances. Maybe it's in healing, deliverance. Hey, maybe it's just in walking love. That's a good place to start, getting those seeds in our lives. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. I believe that if you get an understanding of this parable, the whole Word of God will begin to open up for you. I was having a conversation with somebody, particularly about money and increase. And I said, you know, God promises that as you sow, you shall reap, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And I always believe God for 100-fold. They go, but that's giving with the wrong motive. No, it's not. It's understanding seed principles. It's got nothing to do with a bad heart condition. It's got to do with revelation and understanding how the kingdom of God works and operates. It's got nothing to do with the prosperity message. I understand my kingdom and my king and the laws he put out there. But I was having this conversation. They said, yeah, but then everybody would be wealthy. And I walked away thinking about that. And God started to minister to me about this message. That you see, it's not the money, it's not the physical money as I sow it that causes the increase. It's the revelation of the seed of that scripture. It's the revelation that God wants me prosperous. It's the revelation that God is going to bring back harvest. It's the revelation that if God brought 100-fold to Isaac, he can do it for me. It's the revelation that God wants you. He rejoices in the prosperity of his saints. When I have that revelation and step out in activation with a seed of finances, it's not the money that brings back. It's a spiritual law that begins to operate and things start lining up in my life. I have divine favor. I have refunds. I have people come across my path that I never knew, and all of a sudden I'm walking into deals I should never have walked into. Why? Because I had a revelation and the kingdom started to manifest outside of me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we have a revelation of this kingdom and how it works, things start changing. Let me say this. Let's not just talk about finances. Let's talk about healing. When there's sickness on somebody, you know, like, I look at David, and David's got so much faith. He's in our church, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's believing God that he's going to walk. Guess what? My revelation of the seed in my life and the seed in his life that believes, God, you said that I will be healed and set free and be able to walk, that you're able to bring limbs together. Guess what? In the matter of time, if we don't faint and the Lord hasn't come back yet, David will get out of his wheelchair. And people go, that's a bit bold, Pastor. No, I'm just setting myself in agreement with the Word and what the kingdom says. I've got those seeds of healing and deliverance in my heart. I know what has to happen. But it's not up to me to bring the harvest. It's up to me to protect the seed. And the Holy Spirit will begin to work on the harvest and the timing. Amen? So let me carry on here. Jesus was saying the key of this parable unlocks the whole Word of God for us. Everything in the Word of God gets unlocked if we understand this principle. You know, the whole world operates in this. In the beginning in Genesis, we've heard about it, that God said in the beginning, you know, everything produces after its own kind. Seed produces after its own kind. If we never had that concept or principle, we would have nothing. We would be in a barren place. We wouldn't even have humans. It would have ended with Adam and Eve. That's it. But it's a spiritual principle, this. Jesus was talking about a natural principle so people could comprehend the natural elements and comprehend it and bring it back into the spirit realm to understand how the spirit realm operates. Some people can't join the two. What was it in, I think, Corinthians? It talks about the things of the spirit are foolish to the natural man, but can only be interpreted by the spirit. So you have to be a born-again believer, spirit-filled, to begin to understand and have revelation of the kingdom and kingdom principles. You can be born again, but without being spirit-filled, and it's going to be pretty hard to understand the depth of the word. But we have to be Holy Ghost filled, baptized in the Spirit, filled by His Spirit, and He begins to give us insight, revelation, understanding, the eyes of our understanding being opened up so we can walk in the fullness. I've been talking, it's time to reign like never before. 2 months later, the whole world's gone into chaos. But guess what? That's where Jesus starts to show off. That's where He begins to be lifted up, is in chaos. Because when everything's going so good, man is looking at their own achievements. Even the churches, let me tell you, sometimes the church can look at their own achievements and their own agendas. But right now, everybody is on their knees looking to God, saying, Lord, what is your agenda in this time? And when we get in the line with that, guess what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Bang! God moves in a mighty way and things start shifting in our nation. But it starts in the heart, a heart condition. But it starts with revelation of how the kingdom works and not being moved and in fear by what we see. Amen? So I was doing a little bit of research about this whole seed sowing principle. And all those that know me, my wife would tell you that I ain't a gardener. If you want me to do a garden, make sure it's that you want me to wreck it so you can pour concrete later. But I will wreck your garden. Cut the lawn, you'll have grass growing in places that is not meant to grow. I can assure you. But one thing I understand through this process I've learned, seed time and harvest. Seeds grow where you scatter them. They grow, good or bad. If you didn't want grass to grow in your flower beds, don't scatter the seed there. If you don't want the wrong things growing in your life, don't scatter the wrong seed in your life. Scatter the right seed. And that's the kingdom principle. That's why, you know what? I went through a time where, you know, many years I could watch Die Hard. And I used to like it, I'll be honest with you. Can I be real? I don't wear a pastor's mask. I'm just real. Can I be real? Write me a letter, it's fine. But let me say this. There was a time I came and I couldn't watch it anymore because I couldn't listen to the language. And at times you watch a movie in your language and you go, okay, I'll let that one slide. But if it's consistent, there's something in you that just goes, I can't let that in you. You know why? You know what will happen? When you're squeezed and you've let that seed in you, it's going to come out of you. What you're watching when you're squeezed, it's going to come out of you. What you're listening to when you're squeezed, it's going to come out of you. That's why we need to be mindful of the seed we're planting. The Word of God is incorruptible seed. It's pure, it's holy, it's everlasting, it's eternal. If you get that seed in you, I can guarantee you. I don't guarantee you that everything will be rosy around you, but I guarantee you that you walk through in victory and you will come out on the other side if you get this in you. God never promised we won't be shaken. God never promised we won't walk through those valleys. But guess what? He said you will go to the other side. The disciples were panicking on the water and the waves were rushing and smashing and they freaked out. But guess what? Jesus said, are you guys nuts? Are you crazy? I told you we're going to the other side. Could you not just tell the storm to shut up, submit, obey? Why? They had not had enough of that revelation in them yet that they had authority to speak to the storm. But you know what? By the time Jesus left, they had enough seed in them to continue and impact the world as we know it today because of the gospel. But it started with seed in them. But as I was preparing this and I looked at the natural laws and I thought, there's 8 steps to farming. Now, if there's 9, God bless you. If there's 7, God bless you. I found 8. I'm preaching. I have the mic. I have 8. Love me. But those 8 go like this. Number 1, crop selection. Number 2, land preparation. Number 3, seed selection. Number 4, seed sowing. Number 5, irrigation. Number 6, crop growth. And number 7, fertilizing. And number 8, harvest. And while I was looking at that, I kind of started thinking about the word and say, Lord, how does that apply with us? Because you've likened it to a natural law, a natural principle. So how do we liken the word to that? And I believe this is what the Lord spoke to me once again. He spoke to me, Holy Spirit, that speaks to me while I was preparing for you. This is what He said. Number 1, crop selection. In other words, what harvest do you want in your life? What is the harvest you want in your life? Is it healing? Is it deliverance? Is it a good marriage? Is it the wisdom to raise your kids, amen, in this time. What is it? What is the harvest you want in your life? Is it a successful business? Is it financial increase? What is the harvest? The second thing is land preparation. In other words, is your heart ready? Is your heart open to receive the word? Are you going, you know what, I'm not going to be a skeptic anymore. I'm going to trust the word, whatever it says. If God says it's white, it's white. If he says it's black, it's black. If God says it's red with a dash of pink, it's got pink. It's got pink. What does God say? Is my heart ready? Have I dealt with the issues? Let me say this while I'm speaking. Offense is one of the biggest killers of God manifesting into the fullness in your life. Offense and gossip. God hates it, but it will choke you. It will choke the seed of the word of God. Unforgiveness will choke the word. It will choke the seed. So is your heart ready? Have you prepared the soil in that quiet time? When you go spend time, is your heart prepared? Or are you on the rush like, I got to do my confessions. Jesus is with me. He'll lead my path. He'll open up the path. And you do that. Okay, I got to go. I got to eat my breakfast and I got to get out. That's not heart preparation. You know why I love worship? And I've told our worship team this before. I believe the word of God is important. It is probably the most important thing to me because the word of God changes. But what worship does, it changes the heart condition and it softens the heart condition for seed to go in. That's why I love our worship. And that's why we love flowing in worship. This is a worshiping church, a worshiping house. We've got an amazing team. Last minute notice, they're able to come out and just put something together for us. They're awesome. Encourage them if you know them. Send them messages of encouragement. They're giving time up in this time. They don't have to, but they do. But are you preparing your heart? The third thing is this. Seed selection. Now, this is important. Do you go to the Word and go, I'm finding the right seed for the right harvest I want and getting that in my heart? Because if you have the wrong seed, you're going to have the wrong harvest. So you need to find the right seed out of the Word of God. Go find healing scriptures if you want healing. If you want financial increase, go find finance scriptures. Whatever's in the Word. If you want wisdom to operate your business, if you want wisdom to lead your family, go seek wisdom scriptures. Go look for examples. Get the right seed, put it in your heart. The next one was seed sowing. Am I now taking that and beginning to sow it into my life and into my heart? How does that come? That comes through reading the word. That comes through meditating on the word. That comes from confessing and declaring the word in your family, in your life, in your situation. That's what that is. That's beginning to scatter the seeds in your heart and around you. Because I know the harvest I want. I know the seed selection I've looked. My heart's ready. Now I'm sowing. Now I'm becoming the seed sower, the scatterer that Jesus was talking about. What about irrigation, number 5? That's where the watering and the speaking over that, the washing that thing, and you keep standing. You're washing over the financial seed you sow. I might not see it yet, Lord, but your word says. I might not see the healing yet, but Lord, I'm waiting for it. Your word says. I already have it. So I have it. I'm waiting for the manifestation, but it's coming. It's here. What are you watering? Don't ever get to a place where you start speaking contrary to what you want. Because you have to do some accounting transactions, some balance sheets there. Going to take a little bit longer to get rid of the bad seeds you've sown so you can continue to germinate the good seeds. Amen? Then the crop growth. The crop growth comes like this when it starts shooting out the ground and growing. That's where faith enters in. That's where the rest of God enters in. That's where trust enters in. That's where I know, like Abram, I'm fully persuaded God will do what he said he'll do. And guess what? That seed begins to germinate in my life and begin to manifest and begin to outwork and there's fruits. Listen, if you've been born again and somebody meets you 5 years, 10 years, and you are no different, they say, mate, you haven't changed one bit. I'd be questioning what seeds you've had in your life. But if somebody looks at you and goes, man, you're just not the same person. Why? Because I've been putting the right seed in and allowing the right harvest to come out. Does that mean anyone's perfect? Absolutely not. I can't know of any person that I've ever met or know that is perfect in all things or has knowledge of all things. But guess what? If we just focus on our hearts, get the word of God in and get that seed in us and just trust him, guess what? Number 8's coming. Harvest time. Galatians said it, that if you don't grow weary in doing good in due season, you shall reap. What shall you reap? The seeds you've sown, the harvest you've been believing for and waiting for. I know for us and for our church, man, we've got seed in the ground, finances, but we've got seed in the ground of faith, of what God's word says, that this is a supernatural year of increase. I don't care what's happening around the world. I don't care what's happening with Corona. I don't care what's happening with the economic structures. Let me say this. The most wealth ever created is in economic collapses. If you understand anything, I used to be a financial planner. If you understand anything about finances and stock markets, money is made at the bottom, not at the top. The church should be rejoicing and having their buckets ready, saying, Lord, where's my portion? You said in Psalm that you set a table for me before my enemies. I said the other day, we were walking on the beach and we started declaring Psalm 23. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Satan, I hope you're watching and I hope your eyes are fixed on me, because I'm going to have a feast in your presence. I'm going to be a glutton for a moment. And I'm going to consume what you stole from my father, my grandfather, and them. Because while the earth remains, seed time and harvest remain. That means until Jesus comes back, he said, occupy. Which means Satan must pay back seven times until that trumpet comes. And I ain't seen seven times yet. And hell is about to become bankrupt in Jesus' name. But what are you standing on? Do you believe that? He's stolen from two generations from me. And I'm reminding him daily, your payback is now. I was patient. But now I'm putting a deadline, because your time is not long. And if you don't pay back, that means God's word's a lie. And his word ain't a lie. He said the thief must pay back. So while I have breath on this planet, Satan will pay back. And that's my encouragement to you. Get bold. Get bold. Take the word of God for what it is. It's incorruptible seed. And stand on it and move on it in authority. And you will see it will work for you every single time. We've been the most blessed in this time ever. Let me put that out. Woo! Jesus is good. Let me jump ahead here. I want to show you something. I just want to talk about the soil conditions for a moment. The soil conditions. In Matthew 13, from 19 to 23, it said this. Jesus is talking, and he's talking about the soil conditions. He's giving revelation of this parable of the sower and of the kingdom to his disciples. But look what he says. When anyone hears the word, everyone say incorruptible seed, of the kingdom, and that does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. You know, a farmer doesn't just walk and scatter seed randomly and just throw seed and it land on the concrete or the paving or even on hard ground. He don't just do it like that and expect a harvest to come. That's kind of like this one that he's talking about, the one with hard ground. That's the one that's got the hardness of heart. That's the sinner. That's the one that rejects the gospel. That's the one that's so caught up in sin that won't see the word for as it is. That won't give Jesus a go. Friend, if I'm talking to you and you're listening, don't you put off right now. I'm telling you, if you give God a go, if you give Jesus a go in your life, your life will never be the same. I remember standing once and my hand went up and I accepted the Lord in this church. There was over 2,500 people in the auditorium. I had no idea what I was doing, but my heart was pounding. I look back now, my life wasn't easy from then to now. But let me tell you what, I would never have wanted to change one bit, because with Jesus, all things are possible. He can take you to a better life than you could have ever done without him. And you know what, above that? When all this is over, you have eternal life with him. That's more important in Jesus' name. Don't be like the one at the wayside. Don't reject the gospel. Don't reject the word. But you know what? This could be a parallel as well. You could be a Christian, a born-again person, spirit-filled. And maybe you believe a lot of things in the Bible, but some things you just don't believe, even though it's in there. You know, I can't believe that how many people don't believe in praying in the Spirit. That's in the church. When Jesus clearly said, wait for the Spirit to come upon you, and these signs followed. How can we not believe that? Yes. Listen, you could be in the wayside, even with some areas of the word. I know there's people out there that you're in the wayside with God wanting to bless you financially. Listen, you can do more with money than without. Yes. And if my God says, that I will increase and that I'm called to be a blessing to others, I want to be a blessing to others. You know, as a church, we've done more in this time and in leading up to this time because we've been able to. If you can't pay your bills, how can you be a blessing to others? Don't just take pieces out the word and be like the seed that falls on the wayside. Amen? Look at the next one he talks about. In verse 20, he says this, "But he who received the seed, the word of the gospel, on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles." I believe we're in a place right now and moving forward that many of the church could be in this place. That when you have to stand up for Jesus and what the word says, can you stand and handle the fire and stand and endure and press through? Or do you fall over and stumble? Or do you lose your faith? You know, when Jesus left, you know one of the things he said? "When I return, will I find faith?" He didn't say, "Will I find interpretations of prophecy?" He didn't say, "Will I find prophecies? Will I find people flowing in the gifts?" Even though that's part of signs, wonders, miracles, moving in the end time. But he said, "Will I find faith when I return?" That's my question to you. Will he find faith in your house? Not just faith like I have the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. I'm not talking about that faith, even though that's one part of it. I'm also talking about how many people are like prodigals falling away from Christ, falling away from the church in this time. Will he find your faith still standing when he comes back? Don't be like this one where it falls on stony ground. Maybe you're one of those people that you're under pure pressure and you know the word says, don't get caught up in drunkenness. Don't get caught up in all those things. But pure pressure comes and I lose heart and I step back. Don't be one of those. Press on. Stand your faith. Stand your ground and press through to the other side. Don't allow the seed to be robbed because of pure pressure. I had lots of pure pressure when I got saved. You know, they used to say, for the party to start, I had to be there. I was the party. And when I turned to Jesus, I had so much persecution and people coming against me, people turning their back, ridiculing me, laughing. And there's lots of things I could share, but I'm scared somebody watching and I don't want to offend anyone. But let me say this. I had to make a Jesus decision. I had to stand on my faith, what I believe. I had to stand on the word, the seed that was dropped into my spirit. Go, Lord, I'm going to trust you and protect that seed. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if everybody rejects me and you're the only one that receives me, then I'll do that. And that was a decision I made. And I'll never look back. I've been blessed. I never thought ever in my wildest dreams I'd have the wife I have today. But you know why? I stood on a seed, a promise from God, and he delivered. I never ever thought that I'd have the opportunity to lead an awesome church with awesome people, be doing awesome things. Why? I stood on the seed. And when pressure came, I stood and pressed through and went to the other side. There's too many people backing down. Even if you're alone with Jesus, I'd rather be alone with Jesus than in a room full of people bringing me down and holding me down. Amen. Look at the third one, the thorny ground. He says this, "Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, the incorruptible seed, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke him, and the word becomes unfruitful." Let me just say this about this. This is not saying that God has an issue with you having finances. This is talking about when mammon rules you. When you get caught up in the Babylonian system, you're so full of debt and you can't breathe. This is the one where he says that the deceitfulness of riches, and you're so caught up putting idols up. You know what? A church can become an idol to someone. A business can become an idol to somebody. Your car, your motorcycle. I've always said to my wife, "I'll buy whatever you are, if I can, I'll get it for you. You can have whatever." You answer me one thing. If Jesus told you to give it away, would you? Because if you have I can't do it, then I'd question whether we want that, because that thing becomes an idol. I've had watches I've been given away, but I've also received extravagant watches. Extravagant watches. I like watches. But you know what? If God tells me give it away, it's just material things. It's just from the earth. It's iron and metal. If he tells you give your vehicle away, because you know what? And you go without one for 2 years, but man, I can guarantee you, he will give you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But don't be moved by emotions. What I'm saying is, don't get caught up with the things of this world. Don't make idols out of things. You know, don't make idols out of your kids or your family or your husband or your wife. Even that can become an idol. I'm not talking about don't honor them, because your first ministry is your husband and wife before anything. My first ministry is my wife above anything. But let me say this. Don't allow idols to choke the seed of the Word of God. Don't be like that one that has thorns that is just choking it. And I honestly believe that the first one and second one, the stony ground and the thorny ground, is where a lot of church, a lot of believers, a lot of God's people sit and they reside and they're stuck there. They're stuck on the stony place and they're stuck on the thorny place. And we've got to get to a place that we move beyond. A prophet in South Africa, and I've mentioned this before, spoke over us, and one thing that rings in me, resonates in me all the time, is he said this: as you fix your eyes on the things above, the things of this world will grow strangely dim. I never understood why I needed that spoken over me more now than ever before. We're in a time where we can't be consumed with what we see in the natural. We're in a time, prophetically, we need to be looking for our redemption draws near more now than ever before. You know, nobody knew the day or the hour, and yes and amen, we know that. But never before have we seen a time where things are lining up more now than ever before. And we need to be careful. But who wants to hear the good news? There's good news. Keep smiling if I'm talking to you. Keep smiling. This is an encouraging message. This is a kingdom message. If you understand this, the whole Word of God will open up to you and begin to work for you. That's my heart this morning. My heart is always to lift up and build up and bring life and hope into people by the Holy Spirit. But let me say this. But he who received, in verse 23, seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit, some 30, 60, and 100-fold. Friend, let me tell you, you want to be in that category. You want to be the one that is bearing 30, 60, and 100-fold every single time. I can't tell you how long it takes, because God says seed, time, harvest. There's a time. Sometimes it's immediately. I've had instant harvests, instant miracles. But then I've also had times where I've waited some 10 years, some 15 years. But if you're willing to stand, Brother Hagin said that, if you're willing to stand forever, it won't take long. And that's my encouragement to you this morning. As you stand, I want to leave you with some thoughts here quickly. You know, Jeremiah, before I go there, Jeremiah 1:12 says this: when the Lord said to me, I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be that goes forth, it shall not return void. Why? Because God knows the principle that Jesus was talking about. Jesus knows the principle and how the Father operates. He said, if you want to know the Father, you know the Father through Jesus. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen Jesus. If we see the Word, we've seen them both. And he knew how this works. Seed time and harvest. Incorruptible seed. But look at this. I was thinking about this the other day, and there's three things you need to understand. The first thing, the Word of God is seed. The second thing is, the Word of God is incorruptible, never ending. It's eternal. And you need to stand on that and trust it. But the third thing is this. In John 1 and John 14, it says this. In John 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word we stand on was with God in the beginning. This was an eternity past, and is going to be an eternity present. I need you to catch a hold of this, because this will change the way you read the Bible. This will change the way you declare the next part. Look at it, verse 14. It says this: and the Word became flesh. You know what the Lord showed me with this? He said, this is incorruptible seed. But if Jesus was the Word, and he was the Word made flesh, and the Word of God is incorruptible seed, listen to this, friend. When I bring the Word into a situation, I bring Jesus himself into the situation. I am letting him into the situation in his fullness. Don't ever read the Word again like a bunch of stories and narratives. Don't. This is the love letter. This is principles. This is a blueprint. This is Christ himself put on pages for you and I. And so when I stand and says, by your stripes, I am healed, I am bringing Jesus into that situation to rebuke that sickness and send it back to the pits of hell. When he says, I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out, I'm bringing Jesus in there and he's standing with me. He's my number two. Where one or more are standing in agreement, he's already stood in agreement. I just have to get into agreement with what he says, not him to get in agreement with what we say. Amen? So when we bring the word of God in, we are bringing Jesus in. Now more than ever, we're entering into a time of Passover. One of the most significant times, most important times of the year to celebrate as believers. Christmas is great, but it does not have what this time does over Passover. Our Lord and Savior came to earth as flesh. He was the Word that came down to dwell with us. And we might not see him now, but guess what? He sent someone better, someone greater. Not saying that we put him down. He said it. He said he sent the Holy Spirit. So as we have the Word, which is him on pages, our mirror, our blueprint, and we have the Holy Spirit, when the two collide, there is life and breath in our life. There is life and breath within. The seed within begin to bear fruit and come forth. And come forth into that 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives every single time. But are you allowing the seeds to be choked? Is my question to you. Can I ask the worship team to come up? I want to share this one last thing with you. I was reading Revelation 19. And it says this in verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. How much more does that confirm? John 1 says, God was the Word, and he was in the beginning, and he came to earth and dwelt with us in flesh. And in Revelation 19, that's at the end when God wraps this whole thing up. There he comes in the clouds, glorious, his robe with red, the blood that came out of him for you and I, that blood that was shed on Calvary. And it says his name is the Word of God. When you put the seed of God in you, the incorruptible seed, you putting the living God inside of you, you building his character in you, that his character comes out of you. You building the anointing inside of you, and that anointing comes out of you. You are bringing life and germinating that seed, that in due season, friend, you will reap the harvest of the seeds you're putting in you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information, or if you have any questions, please go to our website, heritageoffaith.com.au. Have a blessed week.